Hey, Bill and Gutton, welcome to Black Law Tribal Edition. Murimu here with you today, and well, it's been an interesting couple of weeks, to say the least, and a lot of things have been going on around the place. Congratulations to Ash Barty for winning the tennis. That was a nice thing for people to celebrate. And But a lot of people were celebrating other things as well inside of Australia, and that was the debate about who owns the flag now is apparently all done and dusted. It's still an Australian flag owned by Australians, for Australians, I guess. But people seem to think that they are free. And, you know, fair enough. Ganyara joins me, Yirrlim joins me today here in the headquarters, that is the Sovereign Unity Government. And Ganyara, I guess that... I guess it's a bit of a sweetener for what usually is quite a sour January.
Oh, look, it's a strange one. It really is. The flag stuff that went on recently, I think there's only one company still in Australia has the sole right to make the flag, you know, make and supply. So the government got back the rights to allow the flag to be used in certain circumstances. Not all of them, by the way, you know, as in this instance where there's only one company allowed to actually manufacture the flag, which is rather strange because the national emblem belongs to the nation, for the nation, you know, and it doesn't give any copyright to anyone. So everyone should be able to use the emblem if it's manufactured right and flown right according to the rules and regulations of what you do with flags. But it's rather strange that only one company can make the actual flag itself, you know. And so that means it's not free. It doesn't belong to the nation itself. It belongs to a group of people that have the right to make it. But in saying all of that, yeah, you know, it was January 26th all over again, which is what everyone wants to do, Australia Day, all that sort of stuff. And actually, that's actually not the correct date for the birth of a nation. It was actually born on the 1st of January. But typical good old Aussie, you know, they can't have two parties if they've got, you know, the two shows on one day. So they got to have Australia Day party and then they got to have the, you know, beginning of the year party, you know, the New Year party. So it's a rather strange mentality because Australia was born on the 1st of January 1901. And that's when they should be there flying their Aussie flag, you know. Well, it's not the Aboriginal one, but it was made by an Australian. It was designed by an Australian. The government have claimed it as a national emblem along with the blue ensign and also the Islander flag, you know, the blue, white and green one. So it's rather strange that all this controversy goes on around January 26th as Invasion Day and that. What's it got to do with the Aboriginal people? It has had an impact on their societies, but why would you even bother arguing with them, wasting that time and effort, when really you could funnel all that energy into rebuilding your nation under your own flag, not under the Aboriginal flag with the yellow dot on it, under your own flag where your law and authority applies? Because you've got to remember one thing. Sovereignty was never ceded. It was never treated away. It was never bargained. It was never sold. Nothing ever happened with it. Other than a mob moved into our house and started taking over the place, you know, and they started sitting on our chair for a while. They actually took over the table and kicked us off, and then they took over the beds and kicked us out and all this sort of stuff. So come back and revitalise that energy, revitalise the nation, bring it back to life, and say to Australia, you know, we don't care what flags you have, you can have all the flags you like. But this flag here of the Yidinji one, for example, it represents the authority of ownership of the territory, of the resources. It shows the sovereignty that was never ceded. It represents the people who have never walked away from that sovereignty, you know, that have realised that it is the authority on this country. And that is the one that will be doing a treaty with whoever it may be, you know, and in this case we'd prefer it to be Australia, which would be perfect for an Australia Day date is when they get their first treaty done, and we're preferring that it's the Yidinji nation that gets the first one over the line with Australia, or gets Australia some country to have its flag on and have its constitution on. And that should be the day that Australia really comes into its own. It at present, it's only the dregs, the leftovers of the colonial era. And that's why they use January 26th is when the British come, not the Australians, the British. But Australia is the leftover. It's the remnants of that thing that went back. It was the thing that was after the British. You know, there was the Aboriginal people first. They were the Indigenous people first. We can't dispute that by, you know, probably 60 or 70,000 years approximately, you know, a bit of a head start. But the British come along a couple of years ago, sort of applied or asserted their sovereignty, which didn't destroy our sovereignty because it was never ceded or extinguished, and that's being acknowledged by the best that Australia can produce in the way of constitutional experts. So ours has always been here. Then the British come and bought their sovereignty. Then they created this thing called Australia, which everyone wants to have as Australia Day, you know, with the first coming of the first fleet, but the first fleet was nothing to do with Australia. Then the British left, and then it leaves Australia in second place. One thing Australia, with their pretty flags, got to remember, is they don't have consent to be here. This is all about education, and this is why it's so important for people like Yirrkala, you know, the Minister for Education, to get this word out there to not only Yidingi, but also the Australians. You know, they have to be brought up to date. Most Australians, and it's a sad reality of truth, that I would say at least half the Australians don't realise they got a constitution and what that constitution actually does. And of that half that do know, I bet you half of them couldn't even recite a section out of the constitution, let alone what it does, you know, that section. There was a bit of stuff recently about Section 44 and political, the ability to stand for a seat for election. But that's probably about all the Australians know. Sadly, they're too busy partying because they've got to have two parties, one for Australia Day and one for New Year, when really they both should be combined. Then they're partying over a flag. That's not free because you've got to go and buy it off the company that's got the sole rights to make it. So it's a really strange world out there at present, and I just find it amazing that the Australians aren't asking the leadership what the hell's going on. Simple as that. They should be writing off to Scotty and say, look, you better give us a heads up. Do we have the right to be here? You know, do we have permission to have our pretty flags on their country, their Aboriginal flag? Do we have the right to be here? Simple as that.
Yeah, it's a bit interesting. I keep thinking of all the different flags that are on the Yidingi territory at the moment flying. And there's a McDonald's one or an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander one. They still don't have permission to be here. And that's really important to realise that I can see two flags in this office, and they are the Yidingi flags have been created under the banner of the sovereign Yidingi government and on behalf of the Yidingi people. So there you go. But Yirrkala, I think this has been an interesting exercise, a bit of a side issue too. I think it's been a bit of a distraction.
Yeah, of course, you know, and it is. It's an opportunity in that sense that it highlights the opportunity that all the nations of this country, you know, there are hundreds of sovereign nations who now have the opportunity to create their own legal entity, their own legal governments, and act sovereign, have their own flag, have their own coat of arms, as the Yidingi Nation has done. And this is a huge step, you know, to have that feeling of autonomy on your own country, where you aren't ruled by other so-called sovereign nations, such as the states and the main Commonwealth body sort of thing. So I agree with you.
Well, that's interesting that I saw that it was the 50th anniversary of the Aboriginal Tent Embassy in Canberra recently, and that was a massive event down that way. Now, there were some sovereign citizens, one of the newspapers or one of the articles that were written from a university point of view mentioned sovereign citizens, and in that article the Yidingi Nation was mentioned there as well, so that was interesting, but absolutely no connection between sovereign citizens and the Yidingi Nation. The Yidingi Nation isn't part of any affiliation or network that has anything to do with sovereign citizens or anything else, to be fair. Although we do have an ambassador on the Ngambri territory, which which Australians would call Canberra, I guess. So that's the only connection really to that space and Yidinji. There's no formal agreement or relationships between the Aboriginal Tent Embassy and the Yidinji Nation, for example. From our point of view, if they're flying the Aboriginal flag, then they are flying an Australian flag, and therefore have identified as Australians. Whether they agree with that or not, that's up to them. But what we will say is that if they are flying that flag, from our point of view, they are Australians, even though they have access to another law system that we can't see their flag yet. So it doesn't mean that everyone's all lost up and their sovereignty is gone and sewn up and stitched up inside of Australia. Absolutely not. We support the sovereignty of all nations on this territory, all the pre-1770 tribal indigenous nations, 100%, because otherwise we'd be denying ourselves. You're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet today. We're going to go to a break, and after that, we'll be back.
See, I've been here, born and bred, thinking what they proud of when our nation's how it is. If we coexist, yeah, I don't think refugees, sunken ships, we don't want them in. My parents trying to save the kids. Tell me you comprehend. Why others too concerned for themselves. Couldn't care less about anyone else. From singing low, save straight. Just take a look at what we made here. From slave ships to Great Britain's blood on their hands. Understand the royal fact. Flying a flag, unlawfully stands. A generation, unlawfully here. I'm awfully scared. Scarred from a past, I can't prepare. 1 million here to march, strong and pilot. I swear, this is the oath of promise. For homeless alcoholic. A fur, petrol sniffing teen, our single mother's caught the struggle, played the game. It's supposed to be play. I'm on fire, it's here. It beat the anthem, ball of fist, and stand up.
March!
So get ready to march.
Citizen stands before you here with lights. You can't envision blinded by the system. This is pure untampered with. Raw uncut lyricism. Trying to make sense of this here. My comprehension skills far above average. Your stereotype narrative playing fairy tales to a devil's advocate. I'm adamant, I had it with these politic and larrikins. Ain't happening. The strategists fatigued up on the front line.
March. Ready to march. End of the day, I watch him betray us. Yo, it's 6 o'clock again. My heart flows with mad love that is deeper than the ocean ever was, that is bigger than any mountain that me and man has stood upon for a place we could all call home. If it's just a dream, then I'm going back to sleep. And I'm hoping if when I wake up, this nightmare's ended. Tell me exactly what this nation represents here. So check it, I got a fistful of gold. I went and sold my soul for a price. You could never know, but I never chose this path. You see, this path chose me. I set sail on this maiden voyage and dare to believe. Look at the stars to guide us now, for tomorrow we see. And hope that change will come around before we 6 feet deep. A dream like Martin Luther King had, while Donnie singing freedom songs. Open up your eyes now and tell me what you see.
March! 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 March
listening to BBM 98.7 FM.
Hey, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, one of the articles in the conversation, I think this month or last, I can't remember, but it said that the Voice to Parliament design report still doesn't meet international human rights standards. Oh, it's a shock to hear. We've been saying this all along, and people just don't either listen and they don't hear, or these people keep taking money to make things trying to work in there. And unfortunately, it seems the latter. The Voice of Parliament, the whole lot, have been going on for years now, and it has struggled to have some sort of identity, and not only that, some sort of foundation to exist inside of Australia. And it is continuing to struggle, and this is no different.
It really is no different. What is the voice to Australia? What is the voice in Australia? What is this thing they're actually talking about? This is actually a mechanism to allow Indigenous Australians, who are Australians, by the way, to have some special say over policy that may affect the people of a heritage of Aboriginality or of Islander descent, you know. So it's actually a nothing. And I like to call it the toy telephone. A toy telephone that don't really work, because what you don't realise is with this Voice to Parliament and everything else is there's no power to veto legislation. You can't make one change. Once they've got their mind made up in Parliament, that's the end of it. You can do absolutely nothing about it. You can have your talk about it, say whatever you want to say, but are they compelled to listen or do anything? And the simple answer is no, they're not compelled to do anything. So what they're going to do is you'll go there with all your concerns and you will voice them. You'll have your big rant and rave. And they, when you walk out the door, they'll just laugh and go, what a bunch of clowns. You know, why did they waste their effort even coming here? Because we've made our mind up. This is the way it works. They actually laugh. If the Aboriginal people accept this, you know, the white majority will be laughing about it all the way to the bank. Aboriginal people will have their say. Nothing gets done. They'll keep incarcerating them at high levels. They'll keep them away from all their proper resources that they own. How crazy is this? You just got to think about it. The proper way, the proper voice itself is through foreign minister to foreign minister, through the channels of diplomacy. You know, this is where the treaty will be done at a sovereign to sovereign nation level. You got to remember the Uluru Statement. This is the best part, by the way. This is the best thing that ever come out of this recognition campaign, and that was the Uluru Statement from the heart. And this was Australia's hand-picked creme de la creme of constitutional lawyers, constitutional experts who could understand what's going on. The one thing they did say, and there's only two paragraphs that really matter, is that sovereignty was never ceded. It was never extinguished. It's been here from day one, that the Aboriginal people were Indigenous nations. They formed Indigenous nations. They were everything. It is their sovereignty that coexists. And by the way, understand the word coexist. A nation does not coexist with itself. It exists with itself. That means there's only one. And when we say all of that, coexist with who? Do they coexist with us? Do we coexist with them? Hang on, we were first. The Uluru Statement from the heart said the Aboriginal people have been here roughly, you know, give or take a few years, 60,000 years, you know. How close is that? You know, do we need any more accurate dates than that? Not really. The Uluru Statement said that they were sovereign nations. That's a bit of recognition that we have the ability to be a nation, as in systems of governance, of where identity is created. You know, this is where this voice to Parliament is all for Australian voices. It's got nothing to do with the Yidingi, for example, because our voice will be through our citizens having our say to our government to get the foreign minister to talk to Australia about it. This is the craziness of this little toy telephone. It's I like to put it down as native troopers. They're going to send the native troopers back. And when I say that, you know, just look at history. The white people were smart with this, the Western world, the colonials. They got black fellas to do the white fellas' dirty work. Went out and shot black fellas. You know, so it was black fella against black fella. And how nice was that? You know, really, they didn't even have the fortitude themselves to exterminate the Aboriginal people. You know, they sent the Aboriginal people to do it from somewhere else, and they brought them up and they killed and maimed. It was a terrible thing that actually happened. But they're doing the same here again. They're paying these native troopers to push the voice to Parliament. Sad as it is, it's a decoy, it's a distraction. It's nothing to do with sovereignty. You can't veto legislation. You can't change a thing. If you really want to have a say, understand what Yidinji's doing and trying to get its government together and to have a voice properly through diplomatic channels to the Commonwealth of Australia, not to the state, by the way, where state-based treaties reside, which can't work because the states aren't sovereign enough, period. That's been a lot of case law about that. The states can't go and enter into treaties with the UK, for example, or the United States or China. That's Australia's job. You know, that'd be usurping Maurice Payne's position if they were to go and do that. So why do we want to do a treaty or a so-called treaty, and it's not a treaty, with the state parliaments? It's got nothing to do with them. They aren't sovereign. The Commonwealth of Australia is the sovereign entity that the Yidinji Nation coexists with, you know, in the Uluru Statement. They didn't say we coexisted with the state of Queensland. They said we coexist with that of the Crown, the Australian Crown. Understand this voice to Parliament. It's a trick. It's deception. It's deception all over. They're trying to put this out there to decoy you away from the real truth, and we've got to go back to there.
Yes, truth is a very interesting concept. And, you know, in the Holy Scriptures it says, how can two parties agree if they can't walk with each other, for example? And these things have been around for a while. Now, there can be no treaty without truth. This is a conversation article written a while back. From dispossession to massacres, the Yuruk Justice Commission sets a new standard for truth-telling. This is November last year. Now, that same commission has had its own problems. The Yuruk Commission, the chief executive officer, quits amid infighting. So they're facing a few issues of themselves trying to get this thing up and running, but the CEO of the country's first truth-telling commission on the impacts of colonialism and injustice on Indigenous Victorians has resigned amid infighting between administrators and commissioners. So it's not a very good look to start that whole thing. But anyway, I'm sure they'll get there. And we mean that, we believe that the truth has already been told, actually.
Yeah, but is it the whole truth? See, you can actually lie by not telling the whole truth, and that's the important part with this. And I'll bet money on this, that the Crown agents will not tell the Indigenous nations that they have the right, under their coexisting sovereignty, to go back and rebuild their nation, revitalise it, in accord with the articles of the UN Declaration of Rights for Indigenous Peoples. I'll bet you they won't tell them you can go back there, bring back your government, and do a treaty with the Commonwealth of Australia, as it's meant to be. Nothing to do with this rubbish with the states. I'll bet they do not tell the whole truth. And you just said truth-telling. We'll tell the truth about history, yeah, what happened before. What about now telling the truth about what they've got to do to secure the future for Australia, to secure the consent for Australia that it so desperately needs to be present upon any Aboriginal land anywhere on this great continent?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I reckon that a lot of truth has been told, but as you've mentioned there, Ganyara, it certainly wasn't delivered on a silver platter for the Yidinji. It was a lot of hard work and continues to be that way. You're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the country today. Thanks to our friends at BBM 98.7 FM. And if you listen inside the Commonwealth, it's probably via the National Indigenous Radio Service. We'll be back after the break.
Listen now. Kobe Rap. MC Mooks. Black Fella Entertainment. My fly, yeah, so it's red, black, and yellow, yellow, yellow. Always wasn't, always will be. But I'll always be rapping my country. My fly, yeah, so it's red, black, and yellow, yellow, yellow. Always wasn't, always will be. But I'll always be rapping my country.
It's red, black, and yellow, yeah, that's my flag, bruv. Hate it or love it, I'll raise my flag up. We about to come up in dozens of it, they're mad, but just because you done jail time, you think you bad, huh? It's kinda funny how some people lack. Looking like dummies, no knowledge is what you people lack. Aboriginals coming, so where my people lack? If we keep it 100, you can't compete with that. Stuff you gotta rap about is for my mum and dad. My daughter, my two sisters, and my pop and nan. My nieces and nephews, I can't stop at that. 11 brothers, different mothers, yeah, they've got my back. I've got a couple day oneers I've known. Seem too young and real ones and never turned their back. Yeah, I love them now, but it's time we clash them and show you what I'm about. From the east to the west, from the north to the south, that's my flag. Yeah, it's always red, black, and yellow, yellow, yellow. Always was and always will be. But I'll always be repping my country, my flag. Yeah, it's always red, black, and yellow, yellow, yellow. Always was and always will be. But I'll always be repping my country.
You brass the black, yeah. Talk up and get smacked down when my brother's up on his track. Now black is the color of my skin, the color of the night, the color of me in the wrong. Now I'm in the right. Yellow's what they call me, cause I got the lighter skin. But a yellow hello, just to get the brothers in. For my rellos, rellos, yeah, you know my love is here. But I rap for my country, cause they'll always be my kid. Red rum, the red roars, the blood of a soul. Red sunsets, and when it's going down for sure, make me mad and I'll leave you red blood on the floor. I bleed for my people, red blood to the core. Black, yellow, red, yeah, you heard what I said. If you starting on my mama, take it up. Don't forget, black history to this country got a mad step. Black, yellow, red, off the shirt of it, I guess.
My flag, yeah, it's always red, black, and yellow, yellow, yellow. Always was and always will be. But I'm always be prepping my country, my flag. Yeah, it's always red, black, and yellow, yellow, yellow. Always was and always will be. But I'll always be prepping my country.
Kobe Rap, MC Mooks, Black Fella Entertainment.
No people, you know, violent, that man up on me standing in equal. All the hell is talking treaty on the microphone, leave the Baker Boys, the next episode of the sequel. Need to find a way to be really proud, spiritually loud, and up high in the cloud. I'm like a bird looking down. Every woman, every man, I'm a god, I can reap my luck, land connected to the land. Limit treaty, Yama, do a Napuru Wanga, do a Numala Wanga, Napuda, feel that I did a Wanga. That way, you'll want to move my money, move my Wanga. Respect to the colors that passed on, left us the legacy and song to carry on. Make it free, let's get it on. Call the old man, give the fire burning strong.
Well, they heard it on the radio, and they saw it on the television. Back in 1988, all those talking politicians.
Aside. 40,000 years we have survived through the forced simulation and the genocide. Can't cry anymore cause the trees are dry. All plans side by side, it's so critical. People say this would take a miracle. Wake the political, fight is all clinical. It's about something more spiritual. That way you'll move my and the game world. While you make your people thin and never make your people thin. You do more, not a nigga, mara ma ulma na. Mara mara ka mara ni dea kwa nao.
What's the easy, what's the cheap?
Now.
My name is Adler Morrison and I'm listening to BBM.
Okay, welcome back to the show, guys. Recently, the Yidinji Nation launched its central bank, and although it's all digital, it's a big jump for us here on the Yidinji territory, and basically means that Yidinji citizens can pay in Yidinji dollars for things. We don't have a lot of things at this stage, but it is a very beginnings of something very exciting. And Ganyara, I think it's one of those things that when we're talking about self-government and autonomy and all those types of things and self-determination, and because sovereignty was never ceded here, then Yidinji has every right to bring back its institutions, and banking is a modern day aspiration for the Yidinji Nation.
Oh, it really is. And look, people got to understand that it was actually said by the Australians that the Aboriginal people underwrote the Commonwealth of Australia. Now, that was in Mabo determination, or Mabo decision in 1992, it was Mabo 2. And the judges there actually correctly stated Aboriginals underwrote the Commonwealth. Simply, they did by the Commonwealth taking the country of the Aboriginal people, you know, just without consent and without paying for it. The, you know, Australia was built on the back of the Aboriginal people, and that's the underwriting side of it. So it has been acknowledged in various courts as well, the federal court, that the Indigenous peoples have systems of payment. You know, they have everything there. Some people use shell money, you know, the others use sticks. You start looking around the world at what has been used as money, and even the British at one part used sticks. You know, they split a stick in half. They put marks on it. Rum and opium, the whole box and dice. Money as we see it today, the notes and all that sort of stuff, and the electronic figures. Same thing again. What is money? What's the value of it? But under the Currency Act 2015, the Yidinji Nation. Within the Yidinji Nation, the Yidinji people actually do have to trade with the Yidinji dollar. You know, it's like dollars and cents, same thing. So if you want to go and buy a postage stamp from the Yidinji post office, that costs you a dollar. Where are you going to get the Yidinji dollar from? And that's what the central banking is all about. So that has been established following along with the protocols of modern banking. It is It is up and running. It is established. But actually, in the digital world, more so, print and paper out. But for every dollar that is issued by the Yidinji Nation for the Yidinji Nation's use, it does have a piece of paper behind it that actually creates the, you know, the Treasury actually create the money and get that organised. So it is all there, properly above board. We're actually looking at the modern money theory of, you know, how can Australia just keep printing money up? They just keep printing the stuff and they tax it out of existence. So, you know, taxes don't build highways or hospitals or anything like that. Taxes just put the value into the dollar, the Aussie dollar. And that's as simple as it is. They own the printing press. They're a government that can print money. They print theirs under the Currency Act 1965. Yidinji print our money under the Currency Act 2015. Simple as that. The Act is there. The government is there. The legislation is in place. Central banking legislation is now in place. The policy is in place. It's all there. We just modernise it. However, with the Yidinji dollar, it actually has a carbon credit attached to it. You know, so much of carbon is attached to every dollar that's out there, which is super important stuff. Because if you want to minimise your impact on the environment, you know, through or to offset your carbon, you're driving a car, for example, and you produce carbon at the exhaust pipe, you can offset that through the Yidinji dollar by actually trading in this stuff. So now it's a currency of value, of substance. Not just there's a value of tax, this is now a value of substance, some real stuff. So it is a substance-backed or an asset-backed currency. Unlike the Australian one, which is completely fiat, or the US dollar, which is completely fiat, the Yidinji dollar, as we trade now, and there are a number of institutions and businesses actually using it, it doesn't attract a tax law of Australia. This is how simple it is. It is attached to all the laws of the Yidinji Nation. Nothing to do with Australia. There's no treaty. There's no formal agreement between us and the Commonwealth of Australia. However, we would, through a treaty, continue the underwriting, as mentioned in the Mabo determination. When they said that decision, you know, when they handed that down, the Aboriginals underwrote Australia. Let's keep it going this time, but we will do it legitimately and above board. And it won't be Australia just plundering the resource. We'll actually underwrite Australia correctly with the currency of our nation. Simple as that.
Yeah, it's big news. And the most exciting part of it, I guess, is that the Yidinji also launched its ID system, its national identification system, which is based through, delivered through blockchain technology. And people using an Android phone, for example, at the moment, can download the app SSID Yidinji on Google Play and go through the processes of seeking Yidinji citizenship and becoming a national Yidinji citizen and being identified on using the phone as that as well. And there's a number of benefits to that. Yeah, it's getting there slowly but surely, but very exciting times. And Yirrlim, I think, you know, there's been a number of interests in it as well. But just what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, well, you know, it, once again, from an education perspective, it highlights the differences of who do you identify as. You know, the fact that we've got a digital identification certainly puts us at the forefront of world technology, along with our central bank. But on a simple level, it just simply says, who do you identify as? Are you acting as an Australian citizen, or do you have dual citizenship? Well, I'm fortunate enough to have that, and you know, to be a Yidinji citizen affords so many more rights than an Australian citizen on the Yidinji Nation. So it's certainly something which anyone who is has right to their own sovereignty on their own land is capable of also doing, and as we have been doing and supporting many other nations in that quest.
Yeah, no worries. Hey, we'll be back after the break. You're listening to your Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet today.
Damn, homie.
You can call it what you want, but it just don't mean
Damn, homie.
They said, hey, Briggs, pick a date.
Okay.
You know I'm wrong, we can celebrate.
For sure.
But we can come together, yeah. Talk about the weather, call that Australia Day. I said, how about March 8th?
That's a good one.
And we can do it on your nan's grave. We can piss up, piss on the face, get lit up and burn out like Mark Skates. The screaming love would leave it. I got more reason to be a riff, you can believe it. Once the loot of constitutional, who's underneath it? Turn that flag to a noose, put a cease to your breathing. I can't get on my whip, I get a ticket for that. I get a DWB, and that's a drop in my split. I turn the other cheek, I get a knife on my back. And I tell them it hurts, they say I overreact. So off that.
Time outside Jan 26. That's the date for them suckers doing that sucker dish. That's that land taking, flag waving attitude. Got this new Captain Cook dance to show you how to move. How you wanna raise a flag with a rifle that make us wanna celebrate anything but survival? Nah, you watching telly for the Bachelor, but wouldn't read a book about a offload of massacres. I remember all the blood and what carried us. They remember 20 recipes for Lamingtons. Yeah, their ancestors got a boat ride. Both minds saw them coming until they both died. I'm celebrating days made of misery. Why I still got the black history. And that shirt will get you banned from the parliament. If you ain't having a conversation, well then we starting it.
You can call it what you want, but it just don't mean a thing. No, it just don't mean a thing. You can call it wave your flag, but it don't mean a thing to me. No, it just don't mean a thing. No, it just don't mean a thing.
Give up for love this time. from my mind.
Paul Lianning, and you're listening to BBN 98.7 in Yirrindji Land.
And welcome back to the show. Some final comments, Kanyara.
Look, this sovereignty stuff is all about identity. It's the ability to make an identity, a legal identity, that is. You know, you mentioned earlier in the show about this sovereign citizen rot that's going on around the world. It's everywhere. There is no such thing as a sovereign citizen. The citizen is created pursuant to the law of a nation, whichever nation it is. And in the Yirrindji case, it's via the acknowledged. Now, and this is something I can't stress enough to people. It's been acknowledged by the Commonwealth of Australia and its constitutional experts as existing to this very day, because the sovereignty, as mentioned in the Uluru Statement from the Heart, has not been ceded. That it's that very sovereignty that can make the identity. The whole lot is about identity, legal identity. And in which nation do you belong to? Through which legal identity are you going to be seen? Are you going to be seen through the Australian one? As Ulam said, he has multiple personalities, and yes, so do I. I have a number. My wife has three. You know, she has three identities. So which one is she seen through legally right now? Which one am I seen through legally right now? Which one is Ulam seen through right now? It's this legal identity. It's all about identity. Who you are, who you are saying you who you are. Look, we're humans that have a brain to be able to join together to form a society that can create the identity. And the Yirrindji Nation has not ceded its authority to make identity, let alone anything else. So our authority will always be here as long as the people believe in the authority, the sovereignty of that nation. So understand identity first before you do anything else, and you'll be right with this stuff. There is not sovereign citizen stuff with us. It's the coexisting sovereignty, the one that was here first.
Yeah, and once again, it also comes back to that perspective of your identity from you can hold a cultural identity, which is not the legal one. Yeah, that is something different again. And that has its own law, L-O-R-E, versus the L-A-W. So this identity issue is very important to understand that, you know, you can operate in which sphere you choose to, whether you're operating in a cultural sphere or in a political legal sphere. Once again, worthwhile understanding.
Well, there you go. Gai Baragalanyunda, may God's peace be upon you wherever you are listening to our show. We really do mean that. And in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we hope that you continue to do some really good work and have a look at what's going on around the world, and more importantly, getting your house in order if you haven't got it already in order. But remember, sovereignty has never been ceded, and nothing has been lost. And if you'd like some help or some information from our government on why we did it and how we did it, then we're more than happy to do that for free. Take care, and we'll catch you next week. Garu.
This might fall on deaf ears because we're accustomed to it. Another deaf here in custody, nothing to it. But it's murder, come on now, to tell the truth. Go and have a look at what they did to Miss Jew. We said in 012 that a change is gonna come. 5 years later, I think Nick's in overdue. Tell you what I'ma do, I'ma steal the endeavor. Give a mama get it, and I'ma tell him get over it.
Now who lining up for them benefits? My people died, now who benefits? I might burn a flag for the hell of it. I've been through hell and back, I'm in my element. Talk about Anzacs, but ignore what's relevant. Push out the blacks, leave them all in the deficit. I'm trying to live, but it's too much deafening.
Murder, murder, murder they drew. Black blood, white page in the burner for who? Never converted, so my verse is always versing with you. Mission for the prison, living with the blackest of views. On January 26, I'm pulling up with the embassy on my 72-ish. My summary could book some. Hold my deep change, my son, it's all